this year, every on Mother's Day and Father's Day, we try and give a little gift. So this year, it's M&Ms that are supposed to look like a bow tie. And so, and you have peanut M&Ms or regular M&Ms. So if you're a dad, when you leave today, you can pick one of these up on your way out. And if you're here today and your husband isn't here, he had to work or he's not able to be here, you pick one up for him. This is not for the kids, all right? So, dads, good luck in trying to eat this if you have kids. But so anyway, as you leave today, we want you to pick up one of these. Just a small way to say congratulations. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's go to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we're going to look at the fifth commandment. And if you're here in Exodus chapter 20, we're going to go to verse 12. The Bible says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." This command is repeated, if you would, go over to Ephesians chapter 6. Bible says, children, in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. This is a quote from the fifth commandment in the Ten Commandments. In verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. God felt that honoring a father and a mother was so important, he put it in the Ten Commandments. And it's very appropriate today that we honor our fathers. If your father is still alive today, I hope that you are honoring him. Just as we said on Mother's Day, we hope this is not just a one-day event. I hope that you're not saying, well, I'm going to do that today. I hope that this is something you say, I want to do all year long. But I hope today highlights that. And I would also say, certainly those of us who know Christ as our Savior, which, by the way, we had two people get saved this week. And so that's another amazing week. I mean, we've had seven people saved in the last week and a half. That's incredible. But it's very exciting. And as God keeps bringing people to himself, you know what's exciting is that now we're one of his children. We have a heavenly father. And if you're saved here this morning, you have a heavenly father. And God loves you and cares about you in a way that no earthly father ever could. But we often say in counseling that how you view your heavenly father is often how you view your earthly father. If your earthly father was kind of harsh and then you tend to view God that way. If your earthly father is very liberal, you could just kind of loosey-goosey, do whatever you want. The tendency is to view God that way. And so it's important. And tonight, if you come back, we're going to look at our heavenly father. But this morning, I want to kind of just share some things that I've learned over the years. How to be a super dad is sort of an inside joke with my kids. And so we could have how to be a super dad or how to be a servant father. But I would guess this morning that every dad in this room wants to be a super dad. I think every dad in this room would say, I want to be the best father I could possibly be. And God has given us a lot of clear instructions on how to be a dad. And, you know, sometimes you know, everyone says, you're so easy on the moms on Mother's Day. And why are you so hard on the dads on Father's Day? Probably because I am a dad. And but secondly, I hope you can take this. These are things that I didn't do as well as I wish I had. But I wish I had absorbed this because the time you have your children in your home is so short. We have a 23, 20, and 16. Our kids are leaving the home. And once your kids leave the home, you know, one of the best times is when everyone comes back. Say, it's just great when we're all together. And the challenge is that time goes by so fast that sometimes it goes by and we miss some wonderful opportunities. And so I hope this morning, like Pastor Jerry said, I wish I'd heard this 22 years ago. It could have been a little more helpful back then. But I hope that you'll take this as just a dad talking to dads this morning, but taking God's word and saying, here's some areas that I think that we can improve on. I would also say this morning, that I don't know that you ever stop being a dad. My dad's 70 and I still call my dad for advice. If something breaks in our house, I'm calling my dad up to say, how do I fix it? And often he can work me through it on the phone. And my dad's kind of amazing that way. And probably some days he's tired of me pestering him, but except I know he would never say that. You know why? Because my dad loves being a dad. And if you love being a dad, then you say, my kids can always call me. They can always interrupt me. I was telling my secretary and on my cell phone, if you've ever been in my office for counseling, there's four people that I will always interrupt for. And that's my wife and my kids. And they know that. And so as we come this morning, I want to just share some things that I've learned over time. So don't take it as Pastor Jim's being hard on us. Just take it as one dad who wishes he had absorbed some of these things earlier on. Someone wrote this, mender of toys, leader of boys, changer of fuses, kisser of bruises, bless him, O Lord. Mover of couches, soother of ouches, pounder of nails, teller of tales, reward him, O Lord. Hanger of screens, counselor of teens, fixer of bikes, chastiser of tykes, help him, O Lord. Raker of leaves, cleaner of eaves, dryer of dishes, fulfiller of wishes, bless him, O Lord. And I would say that's my prayer for the dads in the room this morning. We do appreciate you, and I hope that as you hear me preach through this, how to be a super dad or servant fatherhood, these are just good reminders of what God spells out in Scripture that would help us be the best dads that we can be. And I would say, as I know most of the dads in our church, every dad here wants that. Rarely do I meet a dad who says, I don't really want to be great. I'm really good at just being an average dad. Most of us, in our heart of hearts, we want to be a great dad. And so I hope that this will be helpful to you this morning. Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for every father in this room. Lord, we thank you for the fathers who are not in this room. God, many of us have a dad that's still alive. And God, what a blessing our earthly fathers are to us. I pray that they would be honored, not just today, but throughout this year, but especially today. I pray that every father would be honored by his children, by his wife, that he would feel appreciated. And God, that as we have this day that we set aside to remember fathers, I pray that as we have opportunity to look in your word, I pray that you'd help every dad be the great dad that he desires to be in his heart. God, we thank you for our time together in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bible, if you would, and go to Matthew chapter 20. A few Sunday nights ago, I preached a message, Be Great, Serve. And it's funny, if you go on our website, I think it ended up being titled, Be Great, Served. It's kind of the opposite of what we were trying to cover that night. But in Matthew chapter 20, look at verse 26. The Bible says, that it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Really, verse 28 is talking about our Heavenly Father and also describes earthly dads. The Bible says that a dad, if you're going to be a great dad, if you agree with me and say, no, Pastor Jim, I don't want to just be an average dad. I want to try and be a great dad. Then if you're going to be a great dad, it's going to require you to be a servant. And I think most of the dads in this room would say, I'd die for my kids. I mean, if I had to, I'd give my life for my kids. I love them that much. And certainly Jesus laid his life down for us. And that would be one of the examples of being great. A leader is a man who has followers, and we are called to be strong leaders in our homes, where our children are watching us even more carefully than we realize. And here are five keys to being a servant dad. And actually, there's six keys to being a servant dad or a super dad. Although, if you were here for Michael Miller's family and marriage counseling course this week, you go, wow, he spent a whole week. You're going to cover this in 35 minutes? Well, there's a lot more to everything. But I hope that these are just things that you can think about. Just little things that I think make a big difference. And by the way, I think as you go through life, you'll often find those little things that make a big difference, won't you? And when you find those, you go, wow, it seemed like a little thing, but it really made a really big difference. And especially, I'm really trying to help the dads who have children that are still living at home. And I hope that if you have children that are living at home, you'll take this from a guy who's who's having his kids leave home, and take some of this to heart. If you want to be a great dad, number one, a servant father must be led by God. He's not interested in having his own way, but in finding God's way. Go over to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. This passage was originally primarily written to pastors, but it really covers anyone that's in leadership. And I'm not spending a lot of time proving this morning, but the Bible's very clear that the husband is to be the head of the home. The husband is to be the leader in the home. And he's supposed to be a bottom-up leader. If you understand anything about leadership, if you've read any books on leadership, there's leaders who say, I'm at the bottom, and my responsibility is to help everyone above me. Versus top-down leadership that says, I'm the boss, everybody here is here to serve me. And the people you like working for are bottom-up leaders. They say, no, I'm at the bottom, I'm here to help everyone else. The right kind of leadership in the home is a dad and a husband who says, because I'm the dad and the husband, I'm here to help everyone else in the family succeed. And you come here to this passage, he says in verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, and as those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. God starts off by saying, obey those that God places in authority in your life. If you're a child, and we have a lot of teenagers here, God says if you're living at home, he wants you to obey your mom and dad. And often, sometimes you get through those teen years and you kind of don't always like the rules that mom and dad have. And yet God's very clear, and we already looked at this in Ephesians, obey them, children, obey your father and mother, for this is right. But then he comes in the middle of this verse, and he says, not only are people to obey those that are over them, and if you're in the home, you're to obey your dad and mom, but then he talks about the leader, and he says, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Someday, I'm going to give account for the years I've pastored Meadowlands Baptist Church. And I've always taken that very seriously. And someday, God's going to sit me down, and he's going to hold me accountable for how I shepherded this ministry. But he's also going to do that to me as a dad. He's going to sit me down, he's going to hold me accountable for how I raised my three children, Ann, Tim, and Beth. And sometimes we forget about that, and we go through life forgetting that if I'm going to be a great dad, I have to be led by the Lord. I need to spend time with God. Let me ask you, dads, have you been reading your Bible? You know, have you been spending time with the Lord so that you can lead your family in the right direction? Take your Bible and go over to James, very next book. James chapter 2, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Go back if you would to Genesis chapter 19. Very first book of your Bible. Excuse me, Genesis 18, not 19, Genesis 18. This is the Lord deciding, should he tell Abraham about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, which God was going to destroy. In verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. You know, why was Abraham a good dad? And why did God make an incredible statement about him? God says, I know him. But it's because Abraham knew God. And if you're going to be a great dad, you're going to have to spend time with God. You know, a lot of times if you have a son, we think if we can teach our son to build it, kill it, or fix it, that's a man. You know, and if he can build something, kill something, or fix something, he's got everything he needs to know to be a good man. And the Bible says there's more to it than that. I grew up with a dad that taught me those things. I worked for my dad. We built a home a summer from pouring concrete to finish. My dad taught me how to build stuff. My dad was the first one to take me hunting. My dad taught me how to kill things. My dad has taught me how to fix things. I'll tell you, there's a picture in my mind that I'll never forget. My dad, I said this in the first service, my dad was a hard worker. He worked hard. And he'd come to Wednesday night after he worked hard all day and come to Wednesday night church service. It was hard for my dad to stay awake all the time. Not because he didn't love the Lord, not because he just was exhausted. And I saw my dad work like that his whole life. And my dad used to tell me, Jim, I don't care what you do. In order of career choices, my dad felt being a ditch digger, that's like the worst career choice. And my dad used to say, Jim, I don't care if you're a ditch digger, as long as you love the Lord, I'm good with that. And he sincerely meant that. But I can't tell you the times that I would come in and see my dad reading his Bible in the chair. And my dad was one of those guys that just thought you should never get a new Bible. So if he tore a page, he'd get the Scotch tape out and tape the page back together. And he read his Bible and he wore it out, but he just kept piecing it back together. And, you know, a lot of people say, was your dad a pastor? No, my dad wasn't a pastor. But he was one of the most godly people I've ever met. He just loved the Lord. And as he loved the Lord, God led him. It's not what you know, but who you know, especially concerning fathering. You can read a lot of great how-to books, but if you don't know the Lord, you're not going to be a great dad. You can read all kinds of books that'll tell you all kinds of information about being a dad, but if you don't really know the Lord, it's not going to be everything it could be. Do your kids ever see you read the Bible? Do they know that you know God, or is it just something you do on Sunday? You know, do you come in with your family on Sunday and put on kind of what everyone thinks is a great deal and then your kids go for a ride in the car with Dad? They pass 10 idiots and 4 knot holes and you go home and guess who we saw today? I mean, what goes on throughout the rest of the week? If you're going to be a great dad, then they need to know that you walk with the Lord. Do you make the decisions in your home because of God's direction or your children's direction? Do you make decisions in your home because of what the kids want or because of what God wants? And by the way, if you haven't learned this yet, those two things don't always line up. Your kids aren't always going to want to do what God wants. I remember a time when I told my parents I didn't want to go to church anymore. I've heard some parents say, well, that should be a child's choice. Really? Do you let them choose everything else in your home? It's funny how we don't let it, you know, we make them go to bed, we make them clean up, we make them eat supper, but we let them choose whether they want to go to church or not. That's a crazy way to think. When I grew up, my parents didn't have that book yet. So when I told them that I didn't feel the need to go to church anymore, they kindly sat me down and told me that was not an option at our house. And they said if I chose to do that, that I would be moving out. And my mom was kind enough to share with me that she would even help me pack. That's a big decision when you're 11 years old. I thought about that for a minute and decided, I think I'm going to go to church. I didn't even own a suitcase. Say, did that warp you? Did that turn you off against God that your parents made you go to church? Well, obviously not. You know what my parents said? They didn't really care what I thought. They cared what God thought. And they said, we're not making the decisions in this home based on the kids' survey. We're going to make the decisions in this home based on God's survey, what God tells us to do. But how would my mom and dad know that? They spent time with God. Take your Bible and go over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, begin in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. I would say, you know, as again, a lot of this is coming from my heart. As a dad, this is one thing I wish I had done better. I wish I had shared with my kids. I believe that this has been the most amazing ministry I've ever seen. I wish I'd been sharing all the amazing things with my kids all the way along. And sometimes my wife would say, "Sure glad I went to church today so I'd find out what God was doing in your life." Well, that's not good. She shouldn't hear it the same time you hear it. I should be talking about it at home. We should be having these conversations all the time. I mean, you know, say if you marry a carpenter, your house is never done. Marry a mechanic, your car is never running right. Marry a pastor, you can see the challenge that could happen there. And God says to all of us, "Hey, do you talk about the great things God's doing?" I wish when I was seeing answer to prayer, every single time I came home at the dinner table and said, "Kids, you will not believe what God just did. I got to tell you about it." If we're going to be led by the Lord, the Bible's saying, talk about it with your kids all the time. By the way, don't limit it to devotions. You know, sometimes we're going to have family devotions. That's the only time we talk about God. Wrong idea. God says, talk about Him all the time. Use all kinds of things as teaching moments to talk to your kids about who God is and what He's done. And that's what He's telling us here. When you talk of them, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, just tell your kids what God's doing in your life. Verse 8, "You shall bind them as a sign in your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full," notice what he says in verse 12, "then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall serve the Lord your God and serve Him and shall take oaths in His name." God says, when everything's going great, when everything's falling into place, watch out. Don't forget. I honestly believe this. I mean, Meadowlands Baptist Church has, for the entire history, been one of the most exciting places to serve the Lord. Do you think kids could grow up here and miss that? I think so. What are we going to do to help them? We need to talk about it all the time. We need to reminisce. We need to tell our kids the great things God's done in the past. You know, I was going through a file and I came across the pictures when we were building this addition. And we were all wearing hard hats. I don't know that that lasted the whole time, but it was when we first started. If you remember, we were out in the back here building the walls, and we were building them in sections. And just looking at the pictures of all the guys that were working on that back then. And you just start reminiscing and just thinking about how God used all those people and how that addition got built and all the work that went into that. Guys, don't let the next generation forget. Talk about it all the time. And I think a servant father must be led by God. Is that true in your home? And again, your time with kids is so short. If you have kids in your home, do they ever see you read the Bible? Do they see you talk about God all the time? Do they just know that you really have a walk with God? My dad was not a preacher. In fact, my dad would, if you go on a missions trip, usually the people that are willing to serve on a missions trip do not like speaking in public. And that would have been my dad. My mom, on the other hand, would have had no problem doing that. My mom was a party on wheels, if you ever met my mom. And my dad was the kind of guy that he would work his guts out behind the scenes and he would rather die than have to get up and give a testimony. My dad was a great godly man. And one thing I knew about my dad is I knew he loved the Lord. And if you're going to be a super dad, if you're going to have servant fatherhood, number one, you got to be led by God. Number two, a servant father recognizes that his children are a gift from God. Look in Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." If you're going to be a super dad, then you recognize that your children are a treasure, not an obligation, a privilege, and not just a duty. F.W. Borum once said, when God sees that in this poor old world a wrong needs righting, or a truth needs preaching, or a benefit needs inventing, he sends a baby into the world to do it. That's a great statement. Children who turn out well are often not the product of a haphazard home life. Bringing up our children is the single most important task we have in life. Now, the challenge is that God gave every one of our kids a free will. And that, if you're a parent, that stinks, doesn't it? If we could make all the decisions for our kids, they would be perfect. But God says, no, I gave your kids a free will. And so you can pour your heart into your kids, but at the end of the day, it's going to be their choice. And that's the way God made it. But have you ever done any shooting with a bow and arrow? There's two kinds of bows. There's a recurve bow. It's just a piece of wood that's in a curve and has a string. And I remember the first time I went and shot that arrow, I let it go and the string rakes the side of your inside of your arm. And it's an experience you will not forget for a long time. And now that's why they have a leather piece that you can put here so that when that happens, it doesn't hurt. When you notch your arrow, you pull that arrow back. There's three feathers on an arrow. You got to get those feathers lined up right. You don't line it up right, it's going to hit your bow. You start practicing. And I mean, maybe you all think that you can just pick up a bow and you're Robin Hood, but it doesn't work like that. You're not going to just pick up a bow for the first time, shoot that arrow and have it go right in the bullseye, take your next arrow and it pierces that arrow. Might not have even happened for Robin Hood, I don't know, but that's not how it works. You know, if you're going to get good, it's going to take a lot of practice. And there's a lot to shooting an arrow. And I would say this morning, there's a lot to raising kids. But God says in verse 4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, someone who's skilled in the use of a bow and arrow, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. I would challenge all of us that if we recognize raising our children is one of the greatest tasks we have in life, then invest time and effort into it. You know, we pour a lot of time and effort into our jobs. We'll read all kinds. You know, I have guys come in and say, I'll give them a book on parenting or, oh, I can't read that. But if their boss came to them and said, you read this or you're fired, guess what he reads? I guess I can read. I'll read that book. And God says, hey, there's a lot of instruction on being a dad and being a husband. You can read it and you can understand it. And God says, take the time to do it. If I give a book on marriage to a husband and wife, who do you think almost always reads it first? I know you're thinking the husband. That's the wrong answer. All right. It's almost always the wife. God's coming to us and he says, guys, you need to. You're not just going to pick up the bow and arrow and be an expert. You're going to have to work at it. You're not going to be an expert husband right off the bat. It's going to take some work and effort. So put some effort into it. Number three, I believe a servant father has a sense of humor. He can laugh at himself because he has a humble spirit. He laughs because he has a biblical estimate of who he is. He takes fathering very seriously, but he doesn't take himself too seriously. I believe that I can prove this morning that you should be fun at home. Does God give us, he gives us all things richly to, what is the last word? Enjoy. God says, I've given you all things richly to enjoy. God says, I came to give you life and life more what? Abundant. Does God want you to go through life looking like a dill pickle? He doesn't. You know, that's not what God wants. And yet somehow we think that's really spiritual. Well, God doesn't think that. God says, I want you to enjoy life. I gave you all things richly to enjoy. That's our Heavenly Father. And if you're an earthly father, do your kids run to you when you open the door? Or do they run away from you when you get home? I believe the Bible is very clear. You should be fun. And when your kids are small, take the time to have fun with them. You know, when I was a kid, I always wanted my dad to play a game with me. Now that I am a father, I understand why he couldn't always do that. But whenever he'd play a game with me, I loved it. And when you think back to memories, my mom was a nurse, and so on Sunday nights, she'd have the Sunday night shift. So he'd take us to church, and then he'd make pancakes. It's the only thing you know how to make. And so we'd have pancakes, and we played a game called Aggravation. I don't know if you ever played this game. It's a bunch of marbles that you move around. And if you jump over someone, you can send them back to home. And I think it was either me or my sister, but we jumped over my dad, and we sent him back to home. And as kids, you're excited when you're beating your dad, so we're kind of gloating. And my dad said, "Oh, isn't that terrible?" When he hit the table, all the marbles popped out and lost the game. We still are convinced he did it on purpose, but he says it was an accident. But you know what? Why do we still talk about that? You know, when I get together with my sisters and we go home, what are we talking about? What are we reminiscing about? All the problems? No, we're reminiscing about all the fun, all the memories. And I would just challenge you, I believe if you're going to be the, in fact, take your Bible, go to Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. Pastor Nate alluded to this passage. Philippians chapter 2, look what it says here in verses 3 to 9. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, not considered robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." We won't have to turn there, but James 4, 6, the Bible says, "God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." If you're so proud, if you have to always be right and everything has to be perfect, you're not going to be much fun at home. You know, if your wife goes with you to the Christmas party and everyone that you work with comes up to her and says, "Oh, your husband is so much fun. He's just, oh, we love him. We love working with him. Man, he's just the greatest guy." And your wife is going, "My guy? You're not talking about my husband, are you? Like, he's like the Grinch at home." That's not how it should be. You should be fun. What does the Bible say about marriage? Husbands, live how with your wife? Some of you know the verse. Husbands, live joyfully with the wife of your youth. I mean, are you still having fun in your marriage? You know, fun should be like oil in your car. You can run your car without oil, but it's going to heat up and eventually it's going to seize up. And that's what happens in a lot of marriages. And people just aren't having fun. Why did you marry the person you married? Did you marry him because you didn't have fun with them? "I just like being with someone that isn't fun." No, you know why you married him? Because when you got married, you said, "Man, I just have so much what? I have so much fun when I'm hanging out with them. I just enjoy them. We just have a great time." Is that how it still is this morning? I mean, you know, some of you know, the sad part of my home is I maybe go too far on this. Sometimes my kids say, "Dad, would you just be serious?" So find balance in this, all right? But let me also encourage you, make home a fun place. Make your wife look forward to you coming home, not dreading when you come home. Make your kids look forward to it. If you want to be a super dad, you want to be a great dad, then make home a fun place. We all are stressed. We all have a lot going on. You know, to be honest, I'm glad I have a little bit of a drive on the way home. As you drive home after work, debrief, and when you get out of your vehicle, leave work in the vehicle. And just go home and be a husband and a dad. And when you get back up in the morning and you hop back in your car, all that stuff's still going to be there. Pick it up then and try hard. Again, I haven't done this very well, but I do know that this is important. And God would challenge us, dads, if you're going to be a super dad, have a sense of humor. Have fun. If you can't laugh at yourself, we're all going to do stupid, goofy things as dads. I mean, learn to laugh at yourself and say, "Hey, that's okay." Number 4, a servant father is a man who prays for his kids. Look in James chapter 5. When do we typically pray for our kids? Usually when something's going wrong. But we should be praying for them all the time. If you have a child that isn't married yet, you should be praying for their marriage partner. If they're not saved yet, you should be praying for their salvation. But here in James chapter 5, look at verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. How much time do you spend praying for your children? And what do you pray for your children? If you were to walk in my parents' home, and their bathroom attached to their bedroom is a picture of us four kids and a quote from 3 John that says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And I know for sure that my dad prays for me and my kids, his grandkids, every day. In fact, often when I talk to my dad, he'll ask about something he's been praying for one of my kids. And he'll tell me, "Jim, this is how I've been praying for you." Boy, do you think that means something to me as a son? It means a lot to me to know my dad's praying for me. But sometimes we get so busy, we don't pray. And if we do pray, we're just praying for our stuff, not for our family. And I would encourage you, someone wrote this about praying for your family as a dad. We pray because we're not really sure how to answer all their questions or solve all their problems or even how to be a good father. So we pray. We pray that God will help us and give us wisdom and strength and His guidance. We pray that we'll be sensitive to what's going on in their lives. This is not usually a strength of dads. That's why moms are such a blessing. Anyone besides me have your wife come and tell you what's going on with the kids and you were like, "Really? I didn't know that." Guys, we need to be sensitive to what's going on in their lives. We pray that we'll be loving and understanding and authoritative in all the things that a father has to be. Because without God's help, I don't see any way that we can be the kind of fathers we need to be. We need to be men of prayer. And you need to pray for your family every day. How much time do you spend doing that? If you're going to be a great dad, then you got to spend time praying for your kids or your grandkids or great-grandkids. Number 5, very quickly, a servant father has goals. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Time goes by so fast. In Ephesians 5, verse 15, the Bible says, "See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." You know, when you have young children, you kind of think, will this ever end? But you talk to anyone that has their kids leaving home, and they all say, it went by like that. It just seemed like that, and it just went by. You know what happens is when we're young, we're new in our careers, we're working hard to make it a success, and by the time we're finally kind of hitting our stride and doing things really well, our kids are leaving the house. And you can't get that time back. You know, can you do, and by the way, I don't think, coming back to fun, you can't come home every night and just play games every night with your kid. But can you do work and have fun? Can you do things that are teaching them things and still have a great time doing it? But you're going to have to be patient, right? You're going to have a goal and say, you know what, this probably, you know, as Jonas taught our girls to cook, not every meal that they made was like mom makes it. But we have a goal. We say, hey, we want them to learn how to do this. You know, teaching my son some of the things that my dad taught me. He's not going to do it the first time exactly like dad does it. Is that okay? What's your goal? And you got to say, I don't have a lot of time. Time goes by very quickly. You know, there's things I wish that I had learned from my dad that I didn't learn. Not because my dad wasn't willing to. But you know, you hit those teen years, you got a lot of stuff going on in your life, right? I mean, you got a lot happening. You don't have time to soak up everything you can learn from dad. And once you leave the home and you're out on your own, you're going, man, what an idiot I was. Why didn't I have dad teach me that? Dad knew how to do that. So now I'm on the phone. But have you ever seen a relay race? If you see a relay race, there's a line, and then there's a gap, and then there's another line. And if you don't pass that baton off before you cross the second line, you're disqualified. And if you watch these guys running, the guy who's standing here, you know, it's a race, so there's other people who have to do the same thing. The guy who's running up behind, the guy doesn't just stand there with his hand back like this. Because he's going to lose if you do that. In a relay race, this guy starts running, and as he's running, he's got his arm stretched back, he's running forward, and it's up to the guy behind him to slap that baton in his hand before he crosses that line. Because if the baton isn't in his hand, when he crosses the line, he's disqualified. That's a very short period of time. It's a good illustration of how much time we have to train our kids. It's not very long. And then they're often running on their own. And then all you can do is pray for them and hope that what you poured into them in that short time span made a difference. And that's going to take some goals. If we look at what character qualities do you want your children to have by the time they're 21, what would they be? Do you want your kids to be good workers? What are you going to do to teach them that? Do you want them to have a good knowledge of a walk with God? What are you going to do to teach them that? Do you want them to be honest? What character qualities do you want your children to have by the time they're 21, and what do you plan to ensure that they have them? What are the three most important rules for your children? And would your children give the same three rules? By the way, I'm not saying that I did a great job on this, but I'm saying I wish I had absorbed this better. If someone were to ask your kids what's really important in your family, what would they say? In the past 2 weeks, what specifically did you do with your children to influence their character, improve their skills, or shape their attitudes? These are convicting questions. Why? Because we all get caught up in our stuff. And yet God says, a servant father, if you're going to be a super dad, then you're going to have some goals. You hear me say this almost every January. If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. Why do we need to have goals? Why do we need to have New Year's resolutions? Because if you don't have a goal, nothing's going to change. And so what are the goals for your kids? And what are you pouring into them? And then lastly, number six, the servant father is meek. The only negative command, you see it right here in Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Only negative command is don't provoke them. I think there's a lot of ways we provoke kids. I think one is when we expect them to do the same job we do. No kid is going to be as good as you, so be patient. Meekness, the Bible says, is power under control. The Bible says, in fact, take your Bible and go over to Numbers chapter 12. Begin in verse 1, then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. By the way, keep that in mind when you hear gossip and slander. God hears it. And God puts this little asterisk. In fact, in my Bible, you see parentheses in verse 3. It's sort of like just interrupting the story. And God says in verse 3, now the man Moses was very humble. Or if you have a King James Bible, it says he was very meek, more than all the men who are on the face of the earth. And then the story picks up in verse 4. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. I don't think Miriam and Aaron were excited about that meeting. Was Moses a great leader? I think we'd all say Moses was an incredible leader. What does God say about his leadership style? By the way, you're not going to pick up a business book on leadership and read the chapter of meekness. That's not what our world says is great leadership, but it is what God says is great leadership. And God says great leaders are gentle. You ever see, my father-in-law had huge hands. I mean, he was just, if I put my hand up, it would be almost like, maybe not, you know, you exaggerate it over time, he's in heaven now, but felt like twice the size of my hand. He just had these, and he was a mechanic. And he'd always have oil, and yet he was a gentle man. You ever see a guy with hands like that hold a baby? That's an idea of being meek. It's being gentle. Are you gentle at home, dads? Or are you rough with your kids? Are you short-tempered with your kids? I say, no, you know what? They're not going to do it like I do it right away. I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to be meek. I'm going to be like Moses, great leader. But he was a humble, meek man. And meekness, a good idea of meekness is a steel fist in a velvet glove. Meekness does not mean weakness. God doesn't want us to be wimps. You know, I mean, I said, one of the difference between men and women, you could put two guys in a car, they could ride 10 hours together, not say one word, and they're best of buds. You put two women in a car for 10 hours, and they have something's wrong. They have a problem. Guys do not get together and ever talk about their feelings, very rarely. And if it ever does come up, it's awkward. That's just the way guys are. But God says, guys, I want you to be strong, but I want you to be meek. I want you to be gentle in the home. I want your kids to be willing to talk to you. Are kids afraid to talk to you, Dad? Would your kids say, boy, I can't talk to Dad. Boy, you never want to hear that as a dad. You want your kids to know they can always talk to you. But sometimes, because we're not gentle, kids feel, I can't talk to Dad. And God says, if you want to be a super dad, then make sure your kids can talk to you. Brooks Adam, his father, was the ambassador to Great Britain under Abraham Lincoln. Brooks recalled, the best day of my life when I was growing up was that day when my dad took me fishing. I remember that we talked and spent time together. Time and time again, Brooks recalled that wonderful day when he and his father went fishing. Years later, a historian was going through Ambassador Adams' papers, and they found the diary in which that day was mentioned. Brooks' father had written, went fishing today with my son. The day was wasted. Son looked at it very differently than Dad did. Son never stopped talking about that day. You know what the dad looked at it? What a waste. I wonder this morning how many wasted days have come and gone that were monumental days in the lives of our children and we never knew. I wonder how many things we were going to do but never got around to doing them that might have changed a life and molded a personality. And I would say probably every dad can relate. Every dad can say, I have some regrets. But let me encourage you, take time as you parent your children to enjoy the journey. Enjoy every stage. Enjoy them when they're little. Enjoy them when they're adults. Enjoy every stage of your children's lives. And I would encourage you this morning, it goes by quick. That little time that you have to pass the baton is not really that long. And then they're off and running on their own. Make sure that the time you have in your house, and I hope you took it this way. My goal is not to get on guys. My goal is just to say, as a dad, I wish these were things I had absorbed when I had them a bit younger. I like this, a father's prayer. A careful man I ought to be, a little fellow follows me. I do not dare to go astray, for fear he'll go the self-same way. Not once can I escape his eyes, whatever he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he's going to be that little chap who follows me. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I'm molding for years to be that little chap who follows me. It's awesome to be a dad, and I hope every dad in this room loves being a dad. But I hope you want to be a super dad. I hope you say, I want to be the best dad I can be. And if you want to do it, there's more to it. But I would say these are keys that make a big difference. Know your God. Make sure He's leading you. Recognize your kids are a gift from God. Have a sense of humor. Have fun at home. Be a father who prays for his kids. Have goals as a dad. And be a gentle father. Be meek. And those things will make a big difference in the lives of your children. Let's close in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the dads who are represented here today. I thank you for this time that we can honor them. And God, I pray that you'd help every dad. I believe that this is full of dads who, like myself, want to be good dads. And like myself, probably have things we wish we could do over and do differently. But God, We can make a difference about the future. We can't change the past. And God, as we leave today, I pray that we would seek to be the right kind of father. And God, as we just very quickly looked at these six keys, I pray that we think about them and apply them. And God, we pray for our kids. Lord, I believe that our children, the next generation, is facing a tough challenge. And God, may they know that they have our love and support. And God, may we set the right goals for them and pour into their lives the things that they need to have a great life. Help us to be the servants that you want us to be. And God, we thank you for being our Heavenly Father. Lord, as we look to you and as we come back tonight and reflect on what you're like, what a wonderful thing it is to have you as our Heavenly Father. And God, for all of us earthly dads, help us to take our cues from you. Thank you for giving us your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.